Welcome to Mind Food Radio, Smart Thinking with Michael McHugh and Ben Starr.
And welcome to Mind Food Radio. My name is Ben Starr. Coming up on today's program, a jam-packed show for you. We're going to be talking cholesterol on today's program. Dr. Helen Smith is going to tell us all about hormones. We've got a leading expert in the field of asbestos coming on the program, and he is the professor of this wonderful institute that's been set up to look at, asbestos in Australia. I think you'll be amazed at some of the facts and figures that we'll talk about a little later on. Bill Granger has a brand new book out. Yes, he's going to be talking about that with us on the program. Maurice Richard Hennessy will be joining us on the program. And of course, well, Hennessy is a very famous brand when it comes to cognac, and we'll be chatting to him about his grandfather's works. And a little later on, we'll also be having a chat with our good friend Melissa all about skincare for this summer and what you've got to do to protect yourself out there in the sun while also looking good.
Mind Food Magazine and Mind Food Radio. Together, smart thinking.
Now, just over $100 covers the costs of a woman to attend a financially literate course, helping her better manage her business and generate a larger income. And what does a mother do as soon as she earns more money? Well, she spends it on her children, giving them more food, more education, and a better life. Education is the key to breaking the cycle of poverty for women and girls. And here is a fabulous event that you can get behind. It's called Good Return. And with me on the line, I have Diane Bowles joining us. How are you, Diane?
Well, thanks.
This is an amazing project. Can you tell me how it all started?
We wanted to find a way to really connect Australians with a way that they could help people out of poverty. So we came up with Good Return, which is, it's a website, so it's goodreturn.org, and you can go online and you can find women who need a loan to start or expand a small business like a shop or maybe a sewing business or even buying livestock like goats for sale. And she increases her income and she pays the loan back. And once the loan is repaid, you can actually get your money back. Now, we hope you keep relending and helping more people, but that's essentially how the Good Return website works. And we combine it with, as you mentioned, the financial literacy education. Because we know that it is really important that the women that we're working with are also understanding about budgeting and interest rates and debt management, so it really helps them to maximize their success with their business.
And I suppose, too, when you look at it, there's a sense of pride in being able to repay the loan, hey?
Absolutely. The women, they're getting their first loan. They pay it back. They're so excited because they can see the difference it's made in their family. You know, they might have been able to feed their kids more or maybe even keep their children in school longer or keep the girls in school, and they see that difference and it changes them. And I think one of the most interesting things that I've seen out in the country where we're working is that, you know, the women, they spend 80 cents of every dollar they earn on their family. So we know that it breaks the cycle of poverty because the children get better education and it can really change everyone's lives.
It's amazing that $100 can go that far when you think about it. But you were telling me about a lady called Mary Ann from the Philippines. What's her story?
Well, Mary Ann is a really great success story. She took her first loan out for only 60 Australian dollars. And it was really tough for her because her husband didn't have a regular income and she was caring for the whole family and her bedridden mother-in-law. So she took out the loan. She started a small little shop selling herbal medicines and also getting bulk crackers and, you know, packaging down into smaller quantities and selling them. And she just knew she wanted to do something to improve her situation. And once she had the loan, things were a lot more hopeful for her. You know, she even said, I felt that life got better, and having that loan helped me to work harder. So with that loan, she's been able to keep getting more loans as she pays that off and increase her business and also even diversify her business. And she also went to the financial literacy education that Good Return provided. And I think her most important one that she went to was the debt management training, because previously she had loans from four different organizations and she realized that that wasn't very good for her family to have that much debt, so she realized that she only wanted to borrow money when she really needed it and really when she could use it for her business to earn more money.
Oh, look, I think it's a great thing. And $100, that's affordable. People waste that every day on silly things. So $100 to help someone get an education and change their life, that's a great cause. So, of course, jump onto the website, www.goodreturn.org. We've been chatting with Diane Bowles today, the Marketing and Fundraising Director of Good Return. Thank you very much, Diane, for your time.
Thank you very much.
Mind Food Radio. Smart thinking. The perfect gift idea is a Mind Food magazine subscription. Visit mindfood.com today.
Well, you know, summer's just around the corner. Hard to think so, isn't it? It's been one of those interesting winters. But we've got to get our skin ready for summer. And I thought we'd get Melinda Eyre on the line today, our beauty editor. Melinda, what are some things that we should be looking out for as we immerse from the winter cold into the summer heat?
Yes, exactly. If we haven't really been looking after our skin through winter, we might find, as you know, clothes are getting more revealing, that our skin's very pale and perhaps a little dull. So, look, the key things really in the lead up to summer, which is right now, is exfoliation. So you want to get out some body exfoliators, some facial exfoliators, maybe with fruit enzymes, and really get that dead skin off and get your skin glowing.
Can I ask you, when you talk about dead skin, are we talking like a lot of skin here, like, or is it only, because you, if you have a shower every day, does that get rid of a lot of it or no?
Yeah, it does. Probably as you get older, that process of the skin cells shedding is slower, and you know, sometimes just giving it a kick along can reveal that new skin faster rather than waiting for the whole cycle of 28 days or so. So it's a good way to just refresh your skin, but definitely, you know, you don't want to over exfoliate. You know, you just want to do it once a week. But, you know, if you give yourself a good, with a nice shower gel and a flannel, that can be enough sometimes to get that dead skin off. But definitely if you're going to get a tan, you want to really exfoliate and get it all smooth and even. So that's the main things. And, you know, it's kind of beauty change over time. You don't need probably creamy cleansers and heavy moisturisers. The air's not as dry. But you need to start looking at your SPF. You know, does your foundation or moisturiser have an SPF in it? If it doesn't, you might want to get one. Because as the UV index goes up, you know, over 3, really, you really need to protect your skin now.
Sure. And then when we're looking at the guys, I mean, you know, what happens when we're at the beach? What should we be doing? Because, you know, we've got to make sure we're wearing sunscreen, but, you know, the boys are a bit more exposed than the girls.
They are. You know, one thing boys might want to think about is hair. You know, if they've got hair all over their body, they might want to sort of look at a bit of hair removal. Hair on the chest is good. Maybe hair on the back's not so good.
No. And look, you know what? A lot of guys have a real issue with that. It's a really embarrassing thing
it
for
is.
Them.
Yes.
So what are some ways that we can, well, eradicate that problem?
Look, the best things for things like those big areas of hair are laser or IPL, so you can go in and have some sessions and get rid of it. Waxing is really painful, and for such a big area, it's good to go to your GP and just get your skin checked first, because some of these therapists that do laser and so forth, they may not be a doctor, they may not pick up on things.
Yeah.
And it's really good to get your skin checked before you go in and do those sort of procedures as well. And just so they don't get worse over the summer. So definitely go and see your GP. And they can even recommend, you know, certain specialists to help you with, you know, either hair removal, skin treatments. They can recommend people to you.
And with all the information out about UV and stuff, like, why do people still go to the beach and they just lie there?
I don't understand why people now don't protect themselves. It's just essential.
Because
Australia has one of the highest rates of skin cancer in the world, but also, you know, if you want to worry about how you look, 80 to 90% of ageing is caused by sun damage. So, you know, put a hat on. There's plenty of cool ones now. There's no excuse.
No. And if you're a parent, here's a little fact for you. We did an interview last week. Right. Most skin damage is done in your life between the ages of 0 and 18. And after that, it's pretty much the course has been set. So, you know, take control now if you've got little kids and really, really enforce it, because, you know, melanoma is a serious, serious thing and it's growing.
Very true.
Well, Melinda, thank you very much for joining us today on the program.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And look, very, very insightful. And we're talking today about preparing your skin for summer. So I reckon go along and get your skin checked by your GP and then maybe go to a specialist and then start doing a bit of exfoliation and enjoy the summer and don't get out there in too much of the heat.
This is Mind Food Radio. Smart thinking.
Now, our guest on the radio with me now is a guy by the name of Bill Granger, a restaurateur and self-taught cook whose relaxed and joyful approach to food and television presenting is an essential element of his enduring popularity. Bill, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much, Ben.
I tell you what, you started in the business at a very young age, 22. How did you get into it?
I started working at a cafe part-time when I was at university studying art. So it was by total fluke and accident I ended up in the restaurant business.
Are you serious? And what was the passion? Where did that all come from?
Look, I think I'd always loved cooking and always loved, you know, the creative aspect of food. And it wasn't until, you know, with artwork and working by myself, it's very solitary. And then I went and worked in a restaurant and just fell in love with the collaborative nature of working with a group of people and having fun.
Fun is very much a part of your life and in your relaxed lifestyle and approach to things. How does that all happen?
I just always think you've got to be passionate. When you know, food and restaurants are an interesting thing because they're a mix of the creative and the business, you know, and the commercial. So you've got to have the passion and the love that, as a creative, makes you inspired. It's really, really important to keep that. And that's what I always work hard at doing.
Working hard is part of it. So in those early years when you were at university, could you possibly have looked into the crystal ball and thought, I will have all these restaurants one day?
No, never in my wildest dreams. Never in my wildest dreams. I'm thrilled. I mean, it's amazing. I have a dream job.
What have you learned about yourself, though?
What have I learned about myself? I think that I need constant inspiration, that I need to be on the move and changing things. Otherwise, I'm not very good at staying still. I like to constantly be challenged and grow and be inspired.
So what do you say to people out there in the world today that are listening into our conversation and sitting at home thinking, I'm in a bit of a job and I really don't like it and this is what I'd really like to do?
Well, I think you've just got to make the move. I mean, and food is, there's so many areas to work in food. I mean, there's magazine, there's books, there's catering, there's restaurants. There's just, you know, lots of different sides of it. And I think being passionate about food and even trying, because it may not be what you like, but at least you've tried it. You can get a part-time job in a restaurant, you know, outside of your normal hours and see if it. We've had lots of people in my restaurants come over the years and they've tried it for a year. Some have stayed and made it their career. Others have decided they want to go back. But I think you need to try things because then you can know.
Now, they say if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. I use this on all my radio students. But yeah. Some of us need to just get dinner on the table. So your attitude is stay in the kitchen and make something easy instead. And this is your new book.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm in an interesting position where
Did you like that segue, by the way?
I do. That was very good. I'm impressed.
I'm sitting here going, wow, that's a very good one.
Well done.
I feel like
Mrs. It's got to be easy because I wear two hats. I'm a food professional, but also in my real life, I'm a cook for the family. And I try and bring that excitement you know, a food professional into the, you know, the regular day-to-day home cooking sphere. And that's what I try and do, just to make it interesting. Because if I cook the same thing every night, I'd be bored out of my brain. You know, my personality, I mentioned before, I like doing things that are new, and it's the same with getting dinner on the table every night.
Yeah. And for people at home listening in today, how is your book easy?
It's easy. I've started with basic, you know, where I start a meal from. So I think a piece of chicken, I've got a piece of chicken, a piece of steak, you know, when you shop in a supermarket, a pack of pasta, a bag of rice. And I've created variations on each of those things. And that's where it started because that's the way I cook day to day. You know, it's so easy to get takeaway or to not cook. And I think, you know, especially with, you know, fast food and takeaway food so much being so much more accessible and cheaper, but it makes such a difference to your health. I mean, you know exactly what goes in it. You can use fresh ingredients and, you know, there's so many quick things out there to cook.
Well, look, we've been chatting with Bill Granger today. Now, the book is out by HarperCollins Publishers and it's called Easy by Bill Granger, 100 Delicious Recipes for Your Everyday. I love the title. I love the photos. It looks fabulous.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.
And thanks for joining us on the show and sharing with us your zest for life.
Oh, thank you, Ben. It's been a pleasure.
For more information on today's radio show, visit mindfood.com.
Well, now on Mind Food Radio, we're about to talk to a man by the name of Maurice Richard Hennessy. He spent his childhood years in Cognac, believe it or not, and he is a direct descendant, eighth generation of the prestigious family that came to France from Ireland in 1765. And with us on the line today, I'd like to welcome aboard Maurice Richard Hennessy at our Mind Food pop-up bar.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me about your family.
My family is of Irish extraction, like many Australians. My ancestor, Richard Hennessy, moved from Ireland to France in the middle of the 18th century. And after a stint in the Irish Brigade of the King Louis the 15th, I mean, started a firm in the town of Cognac, selling cognac. And I'm very lucky, being a Hennessy, to be also involved in selling the cognac all over the world.
What advice do you have for young people today? I mean, you're heading a brand, a very famous brand. What advice do you give to people who are looking to create a brand or create something that's a legacy?
I don't know. It has to be a quality product which moves with its time without changing too much of its appearance. Hennessy Cognac is the same than Hennessy Cognac, which was supplied to the customers, consumers at the end of the 18th century. Now, outside of wines, etc., I don't see anything which would not change. However, there's a lot of ideas. After all, some people have invented product which will have probably a long life, like, I don't know, Yahoo or the computers or Mac or whatever.
Exactly.
I mean, all of that.
The world is a changing place, and the refinement of your grandfather is a very different time, isn't it?
Yes. Time of my grandfather, and you mean my ancestor, Richard Hennessy, you had wonderful things at the court of Versailles, but at the same time, you had horrible massacres and pests. I'm not jealous of people living in the 18th century, although it's a very civilized century in France, it created some wonderful things too. But there was a lot of unhappiness too.
With your father was a scientist who worked with the European Council for Nuclear Research, and you obviously went down some form of research arm yourself, becoming an agronomical engineer. Can you tell me, what advice did your dad give to you growing up?
My father told me that I should not work in the clinic business. I was not at all a businessman, and that I should be to be a farmer was a very, very good idea for me. That's why I studied farming. But I've very quickly discovered that it was not just being a businessman in the clinic business. There was a lot of other things you could do, and one is what I'm doing today. And I love doing it. However, I'm farming because I'm lucky enough to own a vineyard, etc.
So what have you learned about yourself in your lifetime of working as a farmer and then also working for your brand, the cognac brand? What have you learned about yourself?
Being a grower is a new thing for me. It's about 15 years. So I'm discovering what it is every day, because vineyards are systematically mean when we need a lot of wine and very over-generous when we don't.
You know, cognac, when you drink it, what is the best way to have it?
I don't know. There are so many ways. I think that the easy way is to have it with sherry water or Pellegrino and ice, especially for the VSOP, although you can have it neat, but you have some wonderful cocktail. You have some great mixologists, as they are called now, in many bars in Sydney, and I'm sure in other cities of Australia.
Yes.
But you can discover yourself. We have a website full of wonderful recipes. But you can also have it neat. A lot of people prefer cognac on its own, and especially the older qualities, small glass at room temperature, and enjoy them slowly in moderation.
Maurice Richard Hennessy, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today on the Mind Food Pop-Up Bar. I wish I was having a cognac with you now, but I can't because I'm on the radio. Thank you for sharing your wonderful story today. It's very, very inspiring.
Thank you very much.
And welcome back with Ben Starr today here on Mind Food Radio. Of course, for any details on anything you've missed in today's show, jump onto mindfood.com. You won't want to miss this segment. We've got Dr. Helen Smith joining us now. She's a GP, but she sort of specialises in the world of hormones and helping women get through life. How are you, Doctor?
Oh, very well, thank you. Yes.
What made you get involved to be a GP, and why do you want to get involved in the hormone side of it?
Yeah, well, for me, even at medical school, I was always interested in preventive medicine or nutritional medicine or approaches that help somebody stay healthy. And in general practice, you know, I spent a lot of years, sort of 15 years, helping families and children and women and men with their health. And then as I sort of went on, there was the big scare that came up about hormone replacement therapy in breast cancer and so on. So I started looking at what other natural options are there to help, you know, women, especially with their hormones.
Do men have hormone problems?
Well, they do actually. There's what's called the manopause.
The manopause?
Yeah. It's really, from about the age of 40, men's testosterone drops by about 1 to 2% per year, just the production. And there's certain key nutrients like zinc and selenium as minerals that they need to kind of keep up a good supply, you know. So it's quite important for the guys to keep up some exercise, not overdo the alcohol, and keep some men's minerals going to
okay.
help with the testosterone, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. And what sort of effects does it have for men? I mean, is it noticeable? Would women be able to pick up on this real quick?
Yeah, they will. Tend to feel a bit flat. Muscle tone starts to drop off a bit. You know, they go to the gym or do exercise and it's not quite the same as it used to be.
Right.
Energy, and then sometimes just like, you know, the actual sex side of it, the erectile function can drop off a bit as well. So they notice all these changes that, you know, that go on.
So for men, do you think just having, what, a zinc tablet each day or something like that to
Zinc's rich in, it's rich in oysters, if they like oysters.
I love oysters.
Try to recommend foods where you can, you know, it's rich in pumpkin seeds and all those sort of pumpkin,
okay.
roast pumpkin and that. But some men are having such a hard time with it that they'll see some of the men's clinic or the doctors that do, you know, testosterone gel and creams and things like that, you know, to help them with a bit extra.
Okay.
There's good research on testosterone actually helping prevent heart attack and things like that. So it's a pretty good area, and they keep an eye on their prostate health, and zinc helps keep your testosterone healthy, so it's not sort of troubling the prostate.
Fantastic. Now, what about women? What happens for women? They get a bit of a rough trot in the hormone department,
they do.
Don't they?
Yeah. It sort of starts, I mean, you know, you've got your teenage, the hormones kick in and they can have trouble with their hormones then. And often, again, there's minerals like zinc and a good diet and keeping off too many sugars helps the teenage girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they come through to their late 30s and then the 40s, the ovaries stop producing so many eggs, and so there's the ovulation or the egg production actually drops off. And normally what happens in a woman's cycle is as she's coming up to the period, the egg is produced and you produce progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
So when that cycle stops being so active, you can get a lot of symptoms just before the week or two before the period, including, I mean, so the men probably aware of this as well, but the women, you know, become very irritable, quite anxious, trouble sleeping. And some of the simple things that help that out, I mean, exercise is actually good.
Mm-hmm.
And the B vitamins, particularly B6, which is one that women take, and evening primrose oil. Some of the specialists use evening primrose oil for breast, you know, tenderness before your periods. Keeping up a good supply of iodine, you know, like kelp and the iodized salt.
Look, it's very, very interesting advice. And look, thanks for coming on today's program. We'll have you back at some other point because this is a topic that can go on forever.
Yes.
And if you would like more information, go on to mindfood.com. We've been chatting today with our wonderful friend all the way over in New Zealand today, and Dr. Helen Smith. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
This is Mind Food Radio, smart thinking.
And welcome back to Mind Food Radio with Ben today. And this is an interesting area we're delving into now, cholesterol. Now, I'm a 39-year-old guy, folks. And last year, I went along to my doctor and I thought, well, you know, cholesterol runs in the family. I should have it tested. And, you know, I'm thin. I'm relatively healthy. I don't drink and smoke. And I went back a few days later and he said, your cholesterol's sitting at 7%. But did you know, which is pretty concerning, we'll find out in a couple of seconds, but heart disease is Australia's number one killer. And according to the Heart Foundation, one Australian dies every 24 minutes from the illness, and around 300,000 Australians are being diagnosed each year. With 51%, that's 6.4 million Aussie adults having high cholesterol, which is a major contributor to heart disease, it's astounding that 30% of Australians admit cholesterol isn't something they think about, and a staggering 55% aren't even concerned about having their cholesterol checked. So we thought it was very important to have a chat today with Gerald Quigley, a pharmacist and medical herbalist in this very important area of cholesterol. Gerald, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ben. How are you?
Should I be concerned?
Well, look, no. At the outset, we need to understand, Ben, that we need cholesterol to live. And I think the survey results from Omega Gen Cardio show that maybe we health professionals have overplayed our cards. We've made cholesterol too complicated for people to understand.
Mm-hmm.
we've pushed it into a bad corner, and in the bad corner are things like sugar and salt,
mm-hmm.
alcohol, all these things that we, within reason, enjoy, and we have to realize that we do need cholesterol, but we have to obviously be aware of the limits and the restrictions that we might have to place on particular things we do mm-hmm. to help control those cholesterol levels.
In the world that we live in, there's so much fast food and things around. How do we control that in a world where people don't place a lot of value now on actually going home to cook a meal?
I don't know where the education has to start, Ben, but I, like you, probably realise that there are generations of children now who think that milk comes in a carton from a grocer.
Mm.
That's really, really sad. We have to somehow reinvent the notion that it's actually fun to enjoy food. We've got to the stage now where if you're out, and compare it to the European attitude, in Australia, if you go out for a coffee and someone says, well, let's share a muffin, immediately there are mumbles of discontent. How many calories? What's it going to do to me? I shouldn't be having it. And when you eat or drink in those circumstances, you become almost inflamed and you tend to, in fact, not enjoy the whole thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the calories you eat are retained. Now, compare that in a European situation. Someone says, let's have coffee and cake. They're all jumping all over themselves. They talk, they chat, they laugh, they enjoy what they're doing. And that's why their cholesterol, in my opinion, is so much lower than ours.
Yeah, I just got back from Italy, and yeah, I agree with you. And look, you know, going out at 10 o'clock at night for a meal, that's normal.
Well, I think they enjoy life a little more and probably don't stress so many things. Cholesterol, Ben, is oxidized. There's good and bad cholesterol. We need good cholesterol to help control the bad cholesterol.
Yep.
And it's oxidized bad cholesterol that causes our problem.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what causes oxidation mostly, and it's stress.
Really?
Yes. Mm. I was reading a survey the other day, a clinical trial I did in the States, where one apple a day reduced over 12 weeks bad cholesterol by 40%.
Wow.
We don't have a drug to do that.
No.
We don't have, and yet none of this gets on the popular media, Ben, because it's just not fashionable. You know, if a drug came out tomorrow that lowered the bad cholesterol by 20%, you could bet your boots it would be on the late night news for three nights in a row.
Well, look, we've been talking about cholesterol today. Gerald Quigley, we'll have to get you back on the show. Pharmacist and medical herbalist, I like your style.
Thank you, Ben. Lovely to talk to you.
Mind Food Radio. Smart thinking. The perfect gift idea is a Mind Food magazine subscription. Visit mindfood.com today.
In this segment, we're going to be talking about a topic that, well, we've heard a lot about, but we really don't know how bad things are out there. And we're talking about asbestos as we lead into Asbestos Awareness Week. And I have Professor Nico van Zandwijk about to join us, and he's going to be talking to us about the built-up environment, our homes, more or less, and places probably where we work. The director of the Asbestos Disease Research Institute he is, and he's the world expert on asbestos. Professor, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
How serious is asbestos in Australia?
Now, asbestos is very serious in Australia. Australia is one of the countries with the heaviest use of asbestos in the past. It was a cheap and durable building material. And as you said, it is houses are and buildings are contaminated when they were built before the 1980s. And so we'll have to be very careful when those buildings, houses, are being renovated or demolished, because asbestos fibers come into the air and may damage our health.
Now, Professor, Australians love home renovating. They love demolishing and they love rebuilding and refurbing. I suppose a lot of people may have already been affected.
Yeah, that's true. A recent overview within the Australian Mesothelioma Registry shows that a significant proportion of the recent cases are not elicited by occupational exposure, but just by things like home renovation or car maintenance.
Now tell me, when it comes to renovating homes, and look, I've done this and my mates have done this as well, we've probably already been exposed to it, but how do you know what is asbestos and what isn't?
Now, that's a very important question. Sometimes asbestos-containing materials are very difficult to recognize, and so if you're contemplating and renovating your house, please ask an expert. And in the council, there are experts, and you should seek a certified expert to check if your house or building is containing asbestos. It's sometimes very difficult. I think most of us will know fibro, the fibro walls, but there are many more products which contain asbestos.
Is it a myth, and this is something we've always been told, or we hear it a lot outside in the media world, that if you don't touch it, it's fine?
That is roughly a right statement.
Mm.
So if you don't touch a fibro wall, there won't be asbestos fibers. But some of the asbestos-containing materials are weathering. For instance, asbestos-containing corrugated roof plates.
Mm-hmm.
They may leave fibers behind or in the gutters. And so be careful.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happens, God forbid, if you find out you have asbestos problems with your health?
That is too late, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So think preventive. Mm. Be aware, because as soon as you have inhaled those fibers, there is actually not an effective way to eliminate those fibers. Those mm-hmm. fibers, they go into the airways, they travel through the lung, and they reach the surface of the lung, and there, after many years of chronic inflammation, they cause that difficult diseases such as mesothelioma.
Mm.
And so prevention is number one.
Look, Professor Nico van Zandwijk, thank you very much for joining us today. We've been talking asbestos. Asbestos Awareness Week is around the corner. He's the director of the Asbestos Disease Research Institute and the world expert on asbestos. And of course, the website's called Think Smart, Think Asbestos. Professor, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Visit mindfood.com today. Mindfood Radio, smart thinking.
And welcome back to Mind Food Radio. Well, we're talking kids' health now, ladies and gentlemen. And if you've got kids, you want to listen to this segment, because Dr. Lynn O'Grady is going to give us some information on why kids matter and the impact on schools, learning, and kids' mental health. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Mental health is a big issue in adults. Is it big in children?
Yeah, we're starting to recognise that there are children that are experiencing mental health difficulties. And whilst we know that most children are doing very well with their health, we are recognising that there are concerns that do exist for some quite young children.
Doctor, can you tell us what type of problems are coming through that you're starting to see?
Some of the problems are what we'd call externalising problems, which is acting out, aggressive sort of problems, fighting, fairly difficult behaviours to manage sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and others are what we'd call internalising behaviours, which mm. tend to be more of the anxious, withdrawn, quiet behaviours. So they're the sorts of behaviours that we'd see.
What's different from our generation to today's generation? Was there much of this around then?
Look, I think we didn't talk about it in previous generations. I think 10 or 20 years ago, it wasn't something we talked about. We tended to think that children were happy and carefree and going okay. So there wasn't perhaps a language around children's mental health. It
mm-hmm.
wasn't something we talked about.
Mm.
Now we're understanding it and still developing our understandings about it.
We're living in a world where kids today, are living a very different life to, say, what I lived, in the fact that they've got a lot more interaction with social media. They've got a lot more interaction, say, when they go out. You usually would see people sitting there sometimes at tables with DVD players in front of their kids. So socialisation sometimes can be a problem. But when it comes to looking at kids today, what are some of the tell or signs that parents should be looking out for to probably alleviate these early mental problems so that they don't become adult problems?
Yeah, and look, that's really the point, is trying to catch these difficulties as early as possible. So usually it would be parents would maybe notice some changes in their children, or they might find that they're just experiencing some more difficulties managing the parenting role. So we would suggest that they have some conversations with the teacher at the school, or student wellbeing people at the school, or the early childhood setting teacher, and just try and get a sense of how much of this is happening in other settings as well.
Mm,
so sometimes it's happening visiting more than one place. But it's something that for parents to really catch as early as possible, have the conversations, check it out. Sometimes they can be reassured by that.
Mm.
Sometimes they can then decide with the other person that it is happening a bit in more than one place, and it could be useful to seek some further professional support.
Yeah, well, good mental health is an important ingredient in a thriving and happy learning community. So you've been busy with a brand new website. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we do have a website called Kids Matter, and it has several sections for families and for schools and early childhood and health and community. So the section for families does have a lot of information sheets. So there's over 40 information sheets there on a range of topics to do with children's development and particular mental health concerns that parents might experience. So we're hoping that parents can access this information as early as they can, so that they can actually get a sense of understanding their child better and a sense of when they might need to seek some further help or have some of those conversations.
Well, Dr. Lynn O'Grady, thank you very much for coming on today's program and talking about why kids matter. And the website for parents, if you're listening at home today or driving along in the car, just remember this, kidsmatter.edu.au. You're doing a great job there, and I suppose people can also get in contact with you via the website.
Thank you.
And we've come to the end of another Mind Food Radio show. Great advice there from Helen Smith on hormones. If you're thinking of doing some home renovating this weekend, it might be worthwhile getting some advice just to make sure that you don't have asbestos in the house. As the professor said in the interview, it's highly likely if your house was built before 1980, there would be asbestos products in there. And of course, on today's program, it was wonderful to catch up with Maurice Richard Hennessy and talking about his family or his grandfather's legacy of cognac, which all started in 1765. Now, if you'd like to create a little legacy for yourself, get behind Good Return. We interviewed not too long ago Diane Bowles about this, first up today as a matter of fact, and you can get behind and help break the cycle of poverty for women and girls. To do that, go to goodreturn.org and donate $100, and you'll see your money go to good work and help educate people to break the cycle of poverty. That's the program. Thank you for joining us. And if you'd like more information on Mind Food, don't forget we've got the brand new app, which is available, so you can go to the App Store for that. And if, as I said, if you missed anything on today's show, go to mindfood.com. Until next week, take care. Have a safe week. I'm Ben Starr.
Mind Food Radio Smart Thinking was produced in the studio of Radio Australasia. Produced by Ben Starr and Brian Newington and Patrick Kayrouse. Bogart Torelli speaking.